out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 26th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I had a think about what we were going to cover today, and I've been thinking recently that we don't concentrate on solutions enough here at Radio Arian. We have talked about the solutions and what we advocate for before in the past, but we haven't done so for quite a while. I did a podcast with Florian Geyer quite some months back, where we were pointing out actions that people could take to improve our situation. Now, a lot of people were expecting us to be talking about maybe demonstrating or putting stickers up, things like that. But that's what groups do. That's what political activist organizations do. And what we're more interested in here is individuals and our individual lives and how we can take steps to change our lives and improve our lives. Because if we look at the political landscape right now, particularly in Britain, we don't have any nationalist organizations really with any power to speak of. We've got UKIP. UKIP, I really do hope they see more improvement. There has been a big improvement since Bolton was removed and Gerard Batten came in. I think Gerard Batten is very good. He seems to have a lot of integrity. But obviously UKIP aren't a racial party. And we have Britain First. Britain First are anti-Muslim more than anything else. They're certainly not racial. We have British Movement. They are racial. They are explicitly National Socialist, but they don't have a political platform. They try to provide community outreaches and nationalist community projects, really, is what they are involved in. And none of these groups have the wealth, the finances that are needed to take on the juggernaut that is political correctness and the establishment. But what we can do is, when we see these political organizations, when we see them doing things that we approve of, we can help them out. We can help Gerard Batten out with his campaigning for UKIP. I know Brutus of Troy, he's been very keen for that right from the start. And instead of attacking these civic nationalist organizations and saying, well, that they're not racial, their policies don't actually lead to preserving the white race, they may stop Islam, they may stop some Islamification, but then we've still got the problem of interbreeding with the other races, which of course will wipe out the white race eventually. And by the end, could be by the end of the century if it continues at the pace that it's going at. But that's better than nothing at all. I mean, we have to support these groups, because when people do get involved in civic nationalist organizations, that's really the first awakening. That's really the first racial awakening that they have. And then, of course, they investigate things more for themselves, and they discover that there's actually more to it than what they're being told by the civic nationalists, and then they just discover the racial side of it, and then hopefully they come to us. Hopefully they don't do anything ridiculous and stupid, carrying out these violent acts, shooting up a synagogue or shooting up a church full of Negroes is completely counterproductive. Absolutely counterproductive. I mean, I talked about this a little bit after that synagogue shooting. I mean, all that did was it caused us a lot of problems. There are lots of calls in America to shut down websites. Gab got deplatformed for a while. Grandpa Lampshade had his blog removed. Other people had their blog removed. That's all that achieved. It just made nationalists look dangerous and violent. And whoever it was that did that, he's going to be locked up for the rest of his life. So he's going to be no more use to us. Not that he was much use to us anyway, but judging by his gaps. But to go out and just shoot people, nobody has the right to go out and carry out violence against anyone, against any of these ethnic minorities. We know that it's wrong that they are here, but they're only doing what they naturally do. They are only doing what comes naturally to them. It's our governments, it's the traitors that we have in power that have brought them into our countries. And the traitors that are in power, yes, a lot of them are Jews, a lot of them may be working for the Jews, but a lot of them are white. And it really is only ourselves that are to blame for allowing this to happen. Yes, it has taken place over centuries, it's been very gradual. But at the same time, if you look at the Jews, they make up less than 1% of the population. We were the ones that emancipated the Jews. We gave in to temptation. Our kings, our monarchs, they got greedy. They brought Jews in to make money for themselves. They made money from the usury that the kings did, the monarchy did. And we ended up emancipating them. And if we kept to our Christian laws, they never would have been emancipated. They never would have been able to buy up properties, buy up the publishing houses, buy up the printing presses, buy politicians to advocate for them. They never would have been able to do that. But we let them do that because we gave into temptation and we gave into greed. And when I say we, I'm meaning all of us white people. We may strive to overcome temptation, but in the end, even the best of us can fall to it. Even the best of us can fall to temptation. I mean, just for an example, I would have said Matt Heimbach was one of the best of us, and he fell to temptation last year. Obviously, he's repented of that now, and we wish him all the best in his endeavours. But that's why we are in the situation today. And we're not going to be able to solve the situation through violence. We don't have an army. And if we did try to use physical force to do anything like this, you would just be crushed by the army, by the government. But that's not to say that we should lose hope about this. When you think about this, what the root of this is, the root of this is white man falling into temptation, falling into greed, and thinking that he can take shortcuts, thinking that he can disobey our old traditions and our laws. And that's led to where we are today. So the way to solve that is at the individual level, is to not give in to it yourself and try to improve your own life and your own outlook. And you cannot make yourself happy. You can only make other people happy. And other people can make you happy. And that's the way things should be. In a white society, you have a sense of community. You have things activities that you do together with other white people. You engage in charity. You engage in helping one another out, just being sociable. You engage in bartering. If somebody doesn't have enough, then you help them out with yours. If you've got more than enough. I mean, this used to come under the heading of noblesse oblige, where the nobles were obliged to help out the poor, and the poor were seen as necessary because it provided a chance for the nobles to engage in charity, to engage in mercy and to help out the poor. And when you have a white society like that is enclosed, then the money's not going to be filtered out anywhere. That wealth is still going to stay within the society, even if it goes to the poor guy, the poor guy spends it and it goes back into the system. That's when you have a system that doesn't have usury, of course. Usury, I don't think I really need to remind our listeners, is banned, according to the Bible. It's against Christian law to have usury, because you end up with the situation that we're in today. So one of the main things is to keep yourself out of usury. Don't get credit cards, don't get loans, don't get a mortgage. All of those financial mechanisms just create money for the bankers. They create money for the people that are running the banks. As we know, the banks are run by private individuals, the majority of them are Jewish. The government can create its own money, but it doesn't. It goes to the bank and borrows the money from the bank and then pays back interest on top of that. And of course, if the only way you've got to create money is if more people take loans out, then you continually have to have more and more loans taken out, and you get more and more and more interest until things crash. And if people had thought about that at the beginning, you just thought, well, no, we can't even allow a little bit of interest, because that's where it's going to go to, then we wouldn't be in the financial situation that we are in today. And all of these things, they start small and they end up in the situation that we have now, a really bad situation. When you say to people, okay, you can have divorce, and the people back then were saying, well, of course, you know, there are these marriages that are bitter, they're loveless, and they should be allowed to have a divorce. That's ignoring what Christian law is. And where that ends up, it gets chipped away until there's no fault divorce, until we end up having to say that a child being brought up by his mother is the same as a child being brought up by a mother and a father, and a broken home is the equivalent to a family home. And we end up in the situation today where men can't find women that will stick with them, women can't find men that will stick with them. Half of all children are being brought up in broken homes without the stability that is required in the child's home for them to grow up to be productive members of society. And it all starts with chipping away at the traditions, chipping away at the old laws. Again, you can say about homosexuality, the Christian law, homosexuals should be executed. Okay, you can say, well, that's really harsh. But there had to be three witnesses to that. So that meant that homosexuals engaging in their homosexual acts in their own homes, they would have been quite safe. It was the ones that tried to force that onto other people were the ones that were executed, because three witnesses, they would have had to have tried it on with three other straight people before that happened. And of course, the reason for this, you could say, well, it's adults with adults. Yes, but the problem with it is that in order, the majority of homosexuals become homosexual because they were abused as children. And as we know, in the prisons, 32% of the pedophiles in prisons are homosexual, and yet homosexuals only make up 1% of the population. So they're 32 times more likely to be pedophiles. So you've got to think of the children here and protecting the children. So that's why there was a strong penalty against homosexuality. And of course, what we've seen is we've said, well, that's too strong, that's a little bit harsh, these people can't help the way that they are, so we'll allow it to, if they're over the age of 21. And then that drops to over the age of 18, then it drops to over the age of 16. Then they redefine marriage, the act of marriage, the consecration of marriage, the life-giving act that creates a human life, and they redefine that to mean sodomy. And they say that gays can get married. Gays can now get married, which reduces the marriage act to being the equivalent of sodomy. And not content with doing that, then they say, well, because the homosexuals and the homosexual marriage is the same as the straight marriage, then they can adopt children as well. And then we get these horrific stories like the one in Australia where the two homosexuals adopted a poor child and then prostituted this child all around Asia. And they were actually poster boys for homosexual marriage. Yeah, absolutely shocking story. You'll be able to find it if you look it up online. But all of that starts with just changing the traditional laws and saying, well, it's just a little bit too harsh to have this, and these people can't help themselves. There are reasons why we had these traditional laws. And of course, going on from that, going on from the tolerance of the homosexuality, you get to tolerance of transsexualism. Not just tolerance of it. I'm sure most people pity these people that are confused about their genders. They deserve our pity. But to promote that delusion to children as being perfectly normal is so harmful, so dangerous. And this is why we now heard about the school last week with 17 people within the one school that now think that they are the wrong gender. And we end up with doctors too frightened to suggest that it may be something other than gender dysphoria that the patient has. Because if they do suggest that it may be abuse or body dysmorphia, they can then be struck off for not affirming that the patient is actually transsexual. And then we get to the self-certification, where you don't even need a doctor, and a person can just say, well, I'm a different gender today. So all of these dreadful things which are hurting our people today come from changing these traditional laws. Miscegenation. The Bible says marriage is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And it talks about kind after kind. Marriage is kind after kind. Everything that was created was kind after kind. Not kind mixing with kind. And this was the law. You honored your mother and your father by marrying someone like your mother and your father. We're genetically programmed to find people with a similar amount of inherited genes to what we have, to find them attractive. And this is why, if you look at old photographs, you will find that you or your partner looks like your ancestors, because you naturally pick out the people that look like you. Once you say, well, what about if people fall in love with another race? It's wrong of us to stand in the way of love because you have pity for these people that have fallen in love. The end result of that is a child with no ancestors that look like them, a child with no heritage, a child with biological schizophrenia that has got the genes of one race in half of him and the genes of another in the other half. And that's before you even get to the medical problems. If they need to have organ replacement, they're never going to be able to find a suitable organ, because their body will reject it, because they won't be able to find an organ that is like theirs, not even from their immediate family. If you have somebody that is mixed race and they need a bone marrow transplant, they're not going to be able to get a bone marrow transplant, because the white race bone marrow won't take, the black race bone marrow won't take, and they would have to find somebody with exactly the same proportion of genes on either side in order for the bone marrow to take. So all these problems are caused by this, just by not looking at the big picture and thinking, well, we know better than our traditions. And this is why we're in this situation that we are in today. You can look at the war and the outcome of the war. We fell for the lies, and we went to war against our own brothers. And we had a huge civil war in Europe. And the outcome at the end of that is that the communists won, basically. And we are stuck living after communism. We are paying for that. We are paying for our national sins. And we can't change that. We haven't got the power to change that. We don't have these big political parties. We don't even have an ethno-nationalist party in Britain anymore. But what we can do is we can change our own individual behaviour. And we can set a good example to people. We can refuse to get the credit card. We can refuse to get drunk. We can refuse to take drugs. We can stop wasting our time watching mindless entertainment, watching Hollywood movies, wasting all our time playing games. We can concentrate on being good people, good charitable people, and we can concentrate on taking care of ourselves, taking care of your body, eating well, exercising, filling your mind with wholesome knowledge. Read the Bible, read the classics, read textbooks, learn about our history, and learn about the great men in our history, learn about the great nationalists, and emulate them, and talk about them to people and just set a good example to others. If you set a good example to others, then they will want to know what it is that makes you different to other people. And yes, faith helps a lot in this. Faith helps a lot in this. I know we don't just have Christian listeners, but a lot of our listeners are Christian. And this is why. Because they can see that there is obviously a God that created the world and there is an order to the world. And the world is in the devil's hands. The world is in the devil's hands. The devil offered all the kingdoms to Christ when Christ turned them down. That's because all the governments are in the devil's hands. But at the same time, we are told in the Bible that we have to obey the government. Even though it's in the devil's hands, we have to obey the government. We don't have to obey it where it tells us to go against God's laws, but we do have to obey the governments. And that is because that power was put in their hands. And this is just a cross that we have to bear. But we know that at the end of it all, we win. This is what I said about after the synagogue shooter, that it's not up to us to take vengeance. Vengeance is the Lord's. When the day of the Lord comes, then the works of the devil will be going in the fire. They will be in the fire, and the Babylon system will be overturned, and the enemies of God will be destroyed. That's up to God. That's not up to us. What is up to us is to reject evil, reject immorality, reject degeneracy. And once we do set on a path of positivity and positive living, you will attract positive things to you. You will meet positive people. You will meet people like yourself. And people will look up to you. And people will look to you for help. And you'll be able to actually give them help. And that's what really makes people happy, is just doing things for others, not taking for yourself. If you want to look at miserable people, look at the rich and look at the looks on their faces and how they can't trust anyone. If you try to live your life for others, which is what nationalism is putting the needs of the nation before the needs of the individual. That is the path to contentment, not just for the individual, but for the nation as well. People that you surround yourself with will be people that want to do things for you, and you will want to do things for them, and life will just become better. That is the way that things are supposed to be. When you have this individualistic way of looking at things, that you're just here to make a profit, you're here to take what you can from the community, that's when we end up in the situation we are today. And that goes right the way back to this human rights idea, that it's the right of everyone to make as much profit as they can, regardless on the community. And this is the merchant idea, the rights of the merchant. And this is why you will find that intellectual property that's been developed by white people is being used by China and all these other countries. Because instead of saying, well, this belongs to us, these people that came up with these incredible ideas, they didn't just do it on their own. They did it from the collective knowledge that came before them, from their ancestors. That's who it belongs to. The way we look at it now is we say, oh no, that was just thought up by that one person, and he has the right to sell that intellectual property. And that's not the way that things should be. We have to be doing what we can for our nations if we want to be content, if we want to be living a good life. And at the same time as doing this and improving your life and not falling to degeneracy, you can then help out those that are on the same alignment as us. Like when Donald Trump was standing for election in America, Donald Trump is not a white nationalist. He's not an ethno-nationalist, but he is a civic nationalist. So obviously we wanted him to come to power, and we helped him with our memeing and with our support, and Donald Trump got into office. Now things are better. There are a lot of things that aren't better, a lot of things that he didn't actually carry through on. But that came about just through chance. That was a gift from God that Donald Trump was on that ticket, and we helped him to win. That didn't come about through us podcasting, that didn't come about through us demonstrating, that didn't come about through any of our political parties. That came about through a chance happening and us identifying that that would be good for white people and getting behind it. And this is the way that we have to look at things. We have to look at what happens in our lives, look at what happens on the political scene. And when people or events happen which are positive for us, we need to be helping them. The same as we support Matteo Salvini here, the same as we support Viktor Orban and the Austrian Parliament, the Freedom Party, the Alternative for Deutschland Party in Germany. None of these are ethno-nationalists, but all of them are good for white people. They are little steps towards saving our countries and saving our nations from extinction. And we have to take these little steps. There won't be a large step where the hero suddenly comes riding in on the white horse and puts a stop to white genocide. We will just have these slow incremental steps, and it's up to us to do what we can to help them on their way. There's another thing I just wanted to talk about here as well, which is the origin of the word nationalism. Nationalism. The word itself comes from natal, which means birth. So a nation is all the people that have the same birth, that have been through the same birth canal originally. Everyone that's been through Britannia's birth canal is British. That's the way that you could look at it. So the word nation itself is exclusive. It is racially exclusive. It's only the people that have been born of the same woman can actually say that they are part of a nation. So when the civic nationalists think that their brand of nationalism is real nationalism and the ethno-nationalists are wrong, the word itself tells you different. The word itself tells us that the nation it's a biological thing. And even though people might say that they're British, they might have a bit of paper that says that they are a citizen, they're not really British. They might be a British citizen, but they're not British. They don't look like Brutus, where we get the name British from. Now, another bit of the solutions here is ethnic minorities. There's no need to deliberately upset ethnic minorities. We don't need to be offensive. We just need to work on ourselves and protecting our own people. There's no need to deliberately insult ethnic minorities. There's no need to go out there and attack ethnic minorities. What we need to be doing is protecting white people. We need to be making white people aware of what's going on, making white people aware of the crimes that are being done against us, that they are being done by non-whites, and that it is our own white traitors in government who allowed them in here, who knew that this was the way that they behaved. We only have to look at Islamic countries. We only have to look at Africa. We only have to look at the Third World to understand the sort of behavior that these people are going to bring with them. And we have to remember that it's these traitors in power that did this. So we need to remove those traitors from power. And the only way that you can remove them from power is legitimately, through politics, through supporting nationalist groups, nationalist organizations. And we can't do that individually. We can't just suddenly change the government and put the ones that were in there on trial for treason. But that will eventually come. If enough people really do think about their duties as a nationalist and set about transforming themselves into decent, good white people, Aryan people, honorable people, then we will win, because they will join these parties like UKIP and they will naturally gravitate to the top, because they will be the best people that we can be. And this is a National Socialist idea, self-improvement. Self-improvement is the key to our success. The more people we can get that work on improving their characters and setting a good example, the more chance we have of getting these people into positions of influence, into positions of power, where they can make changes. And I don't believe that everybody that is in power is deliberately evil. I do tend to think, like Jared Taylor on this point, that a lot of these people are just misled. They really are misled. They do not have the same facts and figures that we do. They just believe this politically correct nonsense and believe that they are actually doing the right thing. Maybe I'm naive in thinking that. I'm not saying all of them. There are, of course, very malevolent, very wicked, very evil people that are in power and in politics as well. But there are also decent ones. There are also good ones. And once we have people that get to positions of influence, then these good people that are in politics will find themselves naturally allied with them. But this isn't going to happen overnight. This is going to happen over years. This is going to happen over years. Maybe you'll say, well, we haven't got that time. But this is all we can do. It's no good fantasizing about the next Hitler coming along or fantasizing about forming a street army and taking over. That is no good. That's not a solution. The only solutions we have open to us are individual solutions. Individual character improvement and working on yourself to become the best white man that you can possibly be. That's the solution. That's the only solution. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.